here and is supposed to be here. Gail's sick, and Danny Roediger's mom has had surgery.
Mother-in-law.
Yeah,
they think he has a daughter-in-law later.
Yeah, yeah, he has.
Well, that's why you were.
I knew about that.
Is it her mom?
What?
Is it her mom who's?
Oh, I don't know.
He just said he has some family things to help out.
He's got two family things. One is kind of here we go, and the other.
Can you please wish him the best?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, folks. I'd like to call the meeting to order. And I'd like to set the agenda. I have one request for an addition. It would be under old business 5.3, addition of staff reports and overview. Any discussion on that?
Well, I don't remember the numbers of the PBN work orders, but I just want to be sure we cover the downtown Star District.
It's within an update that Brett will be providing. Work order 2 and 3 are updates. 4 is the revolving loan fund, I believe.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Could I have a motion to amend the agenda as proposed?
I move the agenda. I'm sorry.
Amended as moved.
Thank you. I feel like a sticker off my pen.
Don't believe me.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Any discussion? Okay, I'd like to call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the motion carries unanimously. Agenda amended with 5.3 addition. We have an open forum, if anyone would care to speak. All right. And now I'd like to move on to the consent agenda. The only item under the consent agenda is approval of the HPC minutes from September 26th. I don't know if you'd like to discuss or if I have a motion.
Move to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All right, now I'd like to call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Abstained.
Oh, I apologize. Gary Spolnick abstained.
5 minutes.
Yes, okay. That was the only thing we voted on. Okay. All right. Moving into old business. The first item under old business is 5.1, PBN work order number 4. Which I'd like, Brent, if you could, to give an overview on this. And then I have a couple of questions if you don't cover them.
Sure. I guess work order number 4 was the request from the HPC Commission to have PBN look at the comp plan and provide recommendations within that plan where historic preservation may be used to support the overall goals of the plan. And PBN did provide a memo to our office back on November 10th with their recommendations of some wording for the comp plan, and the recommended wording is shown in the memo in the red font, and it looks like they are recommending that there's six areas of the comp plan where they would be recommending wording to support historic preservation within the comp plan itself. Should note that tomorrow night the Planning and Zoning Commission is having a hearing on the comp plan, so any recommendation that the HPC wants to provide to the Planning Commission, we should get that to the Planning and Zoning Department tomorrow before their meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.
Okay. Brent, I sent out some questions today because I had not seen this. I was without Wi-Fi where I was Friday, last Tuesday through yesterday. So I just got a chance to look at this morning, and I was surprised. It only covers part 1 of the comp plan. It doesn't cover sections 2 and 3, which has sections which could have been addressed, and I tried to reach Michael Bjornberg and asked those questions but didn't get an answer. Do you have any information on that?
Any further information than what you have received.
Okay. Then what I'd like to suggest, first I'll ask the question. The way PBN presented it, it's within the context of what the wording is, but they didn't give you what they call P2S, which is planning to succeed. Are people familiar with that? Do they sort of know what this is falling within? Okay, P2S is planning to succeed. What were the people down here familiar with that? Okay, so perhaps Brett is the only one who may not be. Planning to succeed is an update on our comprehensive plan, which is a substantive update. It hasn't been substantively updated since the late 1970s. It's been amended. So, and I can give you, Brent, the link for that, so that you can go to that. And I apologize that it didn't come with this material. And within that plan, what they don't know also is within the last part of that plan, on pages 72 through 73, there's already a section in there which had been put in by planning staff and by their consultants on heritage preservation about, you know, for what it provides the community, the support for the community, and the ordinance. So PBM was asked to look at language to figure out what specific language would reflect that overarching view to support it. This plan, section one is a vision for the future. The sections they have not yet looked at are section two, land use and transportation, in which Jeff Ellerbush, the planning staff, who has done much of the work on the plan, had noted adaptive reuse as an area of great interest. And in section three, putting the plan to work, he had listed a number of other areas that they might want to look at. So I'd like to suggest that we look at this tonight only as a review of section one. And if we have recommendations to Planning and Zoning Commission for their public hearing tomorrow, it would only reflect section one.
That sounds okay, except that I think we should also recommend that they not formally approve Planning and Zoning 2 and 3 without having our input somehow. At least we want to make sure it's on record that our input might be forthcoming on sections 2 and 3.
Okay.
Rather than not saying anything.
And I understand that. What I suggest is you wait till we've had a discussion on section 1,
right,
and then we'll see what the motion is, and
right,
that can be, if you wish to include that in a motion, that would make sense. Staff, any other comments?
And just looking back at the work order back in July when Aaron initiated this work order, part of the charge that Aaron provided PBN was to look at section one of the comp plan. He does not mention looking at sections one and or sections two and three of the comp plan, but just look at section one of that comp plan.
And I went back to an email. I have an email that came from Jeff Ellerbush on July 21st that was sent to, it was copied to Mitzi Baker, Charlie Reuter, Sandy Gosley. It was sent to myself, to me, and Aaron Reeves. And he summarizes the Heritage Preservation Section 1, the paragraphs that I referred to on 72 and 73. And then he also notes Section 2 of the Draft Comprehensive Plans, Goals and Policies, and identifies areas that might be of significance for Heritage, and on Section 3. And Brent, again, I apologize, I didn't see this till this morning. I sent this to you today, and I know it was a busy day. So I'm not saying, I don't think we can answer the question of why, I appreciate what you just said. Jeff's understanding was they would be looking at section 2 and 3. Whatever Aaron conveyed to them, I had not seen, so wasn't aware that it seems to have limited it just to section 1.
Well, according to the work order, that's how they looked at section 1.
And,
so,
and again, I, you know, it's one of those things in terms of section 2 and section 3, I would suggest that we have a conversation about this after the meeting or tomorrow. And from Jeff's memo, section 2 and section 3 also would have been reviewed for heritage preservation, that it would be important to do that. I'm not criticizing whether it was done or not, but it's something we need to do.
And if it wasn't done, because it wasn't for the work order, that would require us to amend that work order with PBN if
right,
we wanted to look at section
right,
2 and 3.
Also, that he had completed section one a long time ago, and sections two and three were completed at a later date, so I'm not quite sure what the timing was of when we approved the work order for section. It was possible that was the only one that was completed at that point, and since then there have been the other two sections have come about. Could be. I know three came about relatively recently, and that would have only been within the last month or so. Two, I don't know exactly what the timing is of that, but that's probably why they only looked at one in the work order, because that was all that was completed at that point, probably.
Well, and Jeff looked at it differently because he knew they were upcoming, so it seems like it was probably it was an oversight on our part. But so as it stands today, all we can look at is section one.
Madam Chair, I will also be at that meeting tomorrow night. It is a very full schedule. There are already some members that are suggesting that some things should be continued. I don't know which items will be continued until we show up. But they are thinking that with the agenda as it is now, it could go past midnight. So I'm not certain if this will be reviewed tomorrow night or not. So that's another thing. And if it was reviewed, it still needs to go on to council. So there's still some time there as well.
But Pat, my understanding was council wished to have planning and zoning review anything that they were going to have come before them.
Right, and they may do that. I'm just not certain.
Okay, thank you. Okay, all members, did you have a chance to review the recommendations? It's essentially two pages of recommendations. And actually, the red part is a small insert in each one. How would you like to proceed with reviewing this?
But did you say you just received this last minute?
I was without Wi-Fi.
Yeah, no, I just...
It's not a lot of minutes. We could just spend a few minutes reviewing it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's complicated.
No, I don't either. I just wondered if we're waiting for Section 2 and 3. Do you just want to act all as one?
What we just found out is, Brent, as I understand it, is that the work order that was done in July, at which time only Section 1 had been issued, was based only on Section 1.
Right.
Section 2 and Section 3 weren't covered,
right.
And it appears that that's why PBN has not reviewed them.
Yep.
So the only thing we have before us tonight is Section 1, and I would suggest we review that to get this moving.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Mark, would you like to begin this since... well,
I was just looking over the things they seem fine with me.
So Mr. Harrison, could you move your microphone more? Thank you.
Yeah, I need more workspace.
Well, we can also have a motion and then have discussion.
Okay.
So that's why I have to tell people would like to proceed.
Do you want me to make a motion to discuss the edits from? Well, I'm sorry.
No, you can move to approve,
okay.
And then there could be a second, and then we can discuss. Then it could be amended. Minutes.
Oh, I can move to approve.
I'll second.
All right, any discussion?
I would just like to amend that to say that we, if you think it's appropriate to have a work order to cover sections 2 and 3 as an addition to the current section 1 that PBN has done. Also, that we forward this information tomorrow night to the Planning and Zoning Commission for their review.
Be a second motion, doesn't matter to me.
Or it could just be added to his motion.
That's fine. I'm okay with that.
That's fine with me as a second thing.
So it's, if the friendly amendment was accepted?
Yes.
Okay.
And second.
All right. Discussion. Questions. All right. Then I'd like to call the question. Brent, would you like to repeat what the motion was since there was a friendly amendment?
The motion was to approve the recommendations from PBN and work order number 4 regarding the comp plan, and also direct PBN to look at sections 2 and 3 of the comp plan.
And make similar recommendations.
Yes.
All right, and then in light of what Commissioner Skolnick's amendment was, I'd like to request that this go before commission, be submitted to commission at the earliest possible time tomorrow, and that note for them that we will be coming forward, we believe, with recommendations for specifics on heritage in sections 2 and sections 3.
Yep.
And and we'd like to know how that can be approached given their process and council review.
Was that an amendment to the motion?
No, that's simply...
A rephrasing of what they're...
Yeah.
Okay.
You wanted to make sure we go to them. Our recommendations get to them tomorrow, today, as soon as possible.
Okay.
Well, for commissioners, because their hearing starts at 6. So again, if anyone's interested, the P&Z meets here tomorrow night at 6. All right, so I think if there's no other discussion, I'll call the question. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Brent, 5.2 is PBN updates on WO2 revolving fund and WO3 downtown historic district.
So work order number 2, which is the revolving loan fund, Aaron, before he had left, had sent a number of comments on the proposal that PBN had put together. And based on those comments, PBN had gotten back to our office with a series of questions. So we had answered those questions and sent those back to PBN, and we were just waiting for a phone call to connect with those folks to discuss the questions they had for us and explain more in more detail the revolving loan fund with PBN and the questions they had for us. So at this point, we have nothing to bring forward to the HPC until we get that document back from PBN, which then we'll share with the commission members and we can discuss that at a future meeting.
Okay. Did any members here who were interested in revolving that, did anyone here review that? The revolving loan fund in terms of some of the real estate financial expertise we have? Okay, is there interest in doing that? Because it sounds as though if you do, there's still some time, or are we, any comments?
The only thing I wanted to say is that at earlier meetings, we had always said we wanted to be efficient, so we wanted to put a timeline attached to some of this stuff. So I'm hoping that we could attempt to get this back pretty soon so we can review the package and even maybe in advance of the next meeting if it's ready.
Yeah, we'll get out to the commission members as soon as we get it back from PBN, but we're just waiting to connect to
this. Right, but I'm just saying, so like at the next meeting, it'd be good if we for sure have it in hand rather than hear that we're still waiting to connect.
Sure. I'll relay that message to PBN, so.
Maybe you guys can put a deadline to PBN.
Well, just the timeline, yeah, I would like to have it.
What's the deadline you're asking for, like you want it done?
Like a week before the next meeting.
Yeah, our problem is that we just got to find time to meet.
Right.
PBN's busy and our office is busy, so it's trying to find time to sit down and have a conversation with them.
All right.
Do you do it in a conference call or what do you do?
Yeah, we'll do a conference call.
Okay. Okay. In that same scenario, on a work order on 2 and 3 of the comprehensive plan, I'd like some time frame on that. And again, it would strike me that that may have priority at this point. Brent, so that may be something.
Is there anything we can expect from lead times from PBN? I mean, I know somebody called me and said, I need some fix tomorrow. There's only so much I can do, and so I respect where you're coming from a scheduling standpoint. I don't know what their log of business is and what's realistic from that company, I guess.
Well, they were giving us timelines when Aaron was here. I would hope that they could give us an expected timeline given their business situation. So
in a friendly manner, maybe when you talk to them next, sure. You just ask for a timeline so we know what to expect from them.
Sure.
And then you might send out that update to the commission.
Thank you.
Brent, for instance, on this, the thing on work order, this work order, and section 1 of the comp plan, is there any reason not to send out updates like this to the commission right away rather than with the packet?
Which, so like the
PBN
memo?
Work that we just reviewed.
Kind of send it out as you get it rather than waiting for a few days in advance of the meeting. That'd be helpful.
I guess I can redirect it to the pad and I can send all those memos ahead of time before the packet goes up. Is that okay?
Just to the commissioner. But it will be in the packet later.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. You could do that.
I think that would be helpful.
That'd be helpful. Yeah.
But
because it gives us more time.
The question I have for that is, and then we can't have a discussion or through emails about that.
Mm-hmm. No, it'll just be for you.
It's just for personal review.
And no email discussions on
that. No emails discussion, but if somebody sees something glaring, they could always email you, the sender, just to have some comment on it, like, I think there's a typo here or some horrible error somewhere.
Okay, any more questions on the revolving loan fund? Update? Okay, Brent, we also have on this the downtown historic district.
Yeah, which is work order number 3, and according to PVN this morning, that work is nearly complete. The staff person who was working on that actually had her baby last Wednesday, which was 2 weeks early. So according to PVN, they hope to have something to our office by the end of the week. So once I get that, I can surely forward it to the commission members for your information.
Yeah, and that would be useful, because I know when Aaron was here at the last meeting, when we asked him about the update on that particular work order, he had said it would be done by the end of the week, I think, even back then. So hopefully we can see something again soon with a timeline.
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll send it out as soon as I get it from PBM.
All right. Thank you, Brent. Okay. Any other questions on that before we move on to 5.3? Okay. 5.3 is staff reports. And this, we're going to cover a number of things here, but I'd like first to look to Brent to summarize what we mean by staff reports and the fact that this is being added to the HPC process.
Okay. I guess I kind of started to make things run smoother, maybe at these commission meetings, staff would prepare a staff report on the item. So I kind of started that with the packet this week. When you'll see the memo in your packet, it'll have like a who was prepared by, what the request is, and then it'll kind of go into more detail on these other hearing items as far as maybe the location of the property, some of the key points in any of the 106 reports or any other reports reviewed on the property, provide what findings or criteria are found in the ordinance for historic preservation, and maybe a staff recommendation on that, on the project itself, and then the commission can review those staff reports and determine how they want to proceed with the matter. You can adopt staff suggested findings, or you could adopt your own findings for the matter, and then that would be before the council at a later date. So it's kind of like if you've seen any of the staff reports that the planning department does for the Planning and Zoning Commission, it'd be a report similar to that, but not as much detailed as what the planning department reports go into, because they go into like the zoning of the property, the adjacent land uses, all the referral comments that they get from the referral agencies. Of course, we don't send a call for referrals from other agencies, so we won't have any of that kind of stuff in our tech report. But at least there'll be some type of a basis that the HPC can use when making findings on the project. So it should help us out in the long run.
Well, and the basis is that it's based on the ordinance. And again, that our ordinance or heritage doesn't call for the zoning and all those other questions. So you would cover everything within the ordinance that seems pertinent to the item before the HPC at that meeting. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. And Brent, could you explain why it's reasonable for you to do this in terms of your background? Because I think it's of interest.
I guess the reason why we went with the Planning Commission reports that the Planning Department does is I spent 17 years working in that department, so I had some familiarity in producing those staff reports, so I guess we can just use my experience for the last 17 years of being a planner and producing those staff reports on a weekly basis to help guide the commission in their direction as where they're going with these projects. So
sometimes the materials get to be quite voluminous, and having the criteria there is always good for people to refer to when they're making a motion.
So hopefully it'll help guide commission members, and it'll spell things out. It'll be in front of you, and don't have to look into all these different documents to find the criteria and stuff like that. It'll be right in front of you in that staff report.
And I need to say, in terms of the packet that came out for this, format, you know, and the way you sort of documented things, that was a good beginning to it.
Trying to make it easier for me and also commission members of following these items on the agenda instead of just kind of throwing it all together and mm-hmm. our track and trying to break it up a little bit.
Okay. Just a bit of history, because I know a number of people had conversations or were contacted regarding, this is pertinent here, our meeting in September, we acted upon, it's our only public hearing that we've held, it was a designation question, and we acted upon the request of the 103 6th Avenue property owners to not be on the potential list. And we voted 10-9-1, I'm not sure the vote, but the vote was fairly large. That decision was appealed to the council per the ordinance. And just a comment would be, I took that appeal as an opportunity to testify before the council because I had a concern about the protocols of HPC and how complicated this process is and our need for staff reports and preparation to be able to handle complex issues. And it got fairly contentious, but my major intent and testifying was to request that we have reports. And I followed that up a week after that hearing with a request to Stephen Reimer, who's the new city administrator, via email. I've not met him in person. And a conversation occurred after that email with Brent, and the decision was that that would be appropriate. So I really appreciate staff stepping up to do this, and I think it will benefit us tremendously. And you may have other questions about that, which I'm glad to answer. And Mark Carlson was it when it was appealed to council on the 6th of November, it was tabled until the 20th of November, and Mark was actually there for that. And Mark, following that meeting, had notes about all the things council brought up about protocols and how to make decisions and things. So Mark, I don't know if you had any comments
to
make.
I was there for a different item related to work, but then I stayed for the HPC stuff. And the feedback that the council was frustrated with our recommendation, that they didn't have enough to, you know, so they had an appeal. And you know, our recommendation was to say it's not a potential landmark, take it off the list. And then that got appealed. And so they had to make a decision, and all they had was our vote, and didn't have what was our reasoning behind the vote that we had reached. And I think we all had a discussion. It just wasn't documented well enough for the city council to say, they hit the right things and it was a good vote, or you know, there were some questions on the appeal about people were bringing up issues not related to the ordinance and things like that. And so I think it'd be helpful for us to come up with a template if we make a determination on a property that it might get appealed. I mean, there's going to be, especially ones that you are going to say, we know we have someone that's not interested in having their property listed, but we're going to say you're going to get listed. You can almost guarantee someone's going to appeal that, and we need to give the city council some information that they can look at and say, okay, well, we see that the HPC did thoughtfully consider, and they could choose to ignore our recommendation.
Right.
But we need to give them some information so they can say, okay, they just didn't willy-nilly make it up. We had a reasoning behind our determination, either to put it on or not. Barry, I think you were there too.
Yeah,
was that a fair assessment? That they were just frustrated. They didn't have stuff.
They were frustrated, but there was only one vote,
and that was discussed. Yeah,
that sends a message, I think.
Yeah.
There was also findings that I didn't think supported that there was enough evidence to. The word good, and there was some, I think, hyperbole that was brought up by that one individual. Twisted our words a little bit. I think I was informed anyway.
I feel like I was informed to make the right vote, but I could see where the city council could say, okay, help me
well,
so I can make a decision if it gets.
I have no problem with explaining our vote, but I thought it was.
I think it's a learning experience.
I agree with Mark. I think that the more information we have to support whatever we do, or if there's another side with the minority opinion is, we can have that shared with the council. I think that's a good thing. I also wanted to mention in general with this, when we're doing the reports to us and for the future, it might be a good idea in some situations to refer to building and safety to see what kind of inspections have been made on a particular premises, because if we're going to be getting claims that the building is in terrible condition or something, it'd be nice to see what building and safety says about some of these claims. Now, we'd always need it on every building, but there might be a number of situations that might be useful for us to have up front.
I don't know. I have a question if building safety is appropriate to say or qualify what kind of condition when building safety's jurisdiction is really doesn't mean code or not. And I'd like to know
if somebody... But it would be interesting to know if it does.
If it means code.
Yeah, yeah.
That's different than condition. Okay. And that's okay. All I wanted to get out there is if we're going to pull building safety into this, their jurisdiction is code. It is not condition. They're not appraisers.
Wasn't somebody from building and safety not interested in doing this as they are swamped with their own workload?
Yeah, I'd like to mention I can't get his permits fast enough. And with all due respect, it's just because they're busy.
Yeah.
No, I was only asking for a historical record. I wasn't asking them to go out and do an inspection.
Okay, I understand. That's different than what I thought you were asking.
I was asking for a historical record that's just there. That's all. Nothing where they have to initiate a new inspection.
If I'm hearing something, and I don't know if this is appropriate, what I'm hearing Gary ask is that we may request a referral to building and safety on records on a building. Is that, if I could ask building and safety to comment?
Sure. Our records are public information, so if you want those records, we can make those available. The problem is we don't make an assessment of every structure. I mean, we issue a permit, and it could have been back in the 80s when we issued that permit and when we made those inspections. So, you know, being able to assess the property as it sits right now, that'd be very difficult for us to do.
Right, but if you had inspected something 2 weeks ago, that would be interesting as well. Yeah, so I think the dates of it, when it was, it might be interesting.
But we can make those records available for your review.
And I know, I realize what you're saying, that there are other factors involved, and I respect that.
Yeah, and I guess if it's not something that would hurt, I just don't want us to... I'm trying to understand what kind of credibility it would lend, because if they were there and they said, yep, electrical's up to code, that says nothing about plumbing, because the inspectors don't go in and look at other trades. They walk in and look at one thing.
Absolutely.
So I'm just wondering how it's going to help if we're putting another piece to the puzzle together. I just want to know how it's going to help.
That's I think the more information is better. And if, they say, and if he said it was up to code 2 weeks ago, and then the applicant, or whoever the building was being reviewed, couldn't say that it's not up to the electrical code.
Sure, that's fair enough.
It might make sense, Randy, if you had some time to think about this and talk with Brent about if a request is made on a building, if there's some simple summary you could do. Again, in terms of the sort of referrals that are made on planning and zoning, the agency to which it's referred does a summary rather than simply submit documents.
Okay, I will work.
Could it be something like, you know, property X last time visited 5 years ago,
right.
No issues on the outlet.
That's,
you know, again, to Brent's point, that's one outlet or something. So
thank you, that's exactly my point, is we're just going to know that there's a good thing. We're not going to know that there's bad things because it won't stay open.
It doesn't say about the roof.
We're just going to see, this quality of the building is up to code. But it just because a plumbing inspector was there and a sink or a hose or something was maintained or fixed or installed, there'd be five other things in that same trade that are not looked at by the inspectors, just by the circumstance of the process, am I correct?
Yes, we could just be there inspecting a water heater, and there could be other substandard issues.
Yeah, and so that's why I don't want us to lend too much credit.
I understand that, but it does give some additional information, more than we have. Without
we can never have too much pieces, I think, to make a decision. If we're going to make decisions like this, we can never have too much or too many pieces. Look at.
We have to be careful about the world of the ocean.
And I think maybe as a matter of process, we just need to do our due diligence when we're making motions to approve or not approve one of these properties that we include in our motion and in the discussion very clearly what it is and how we're making that determination. So that
and that's a question. So to help City Council, how would we best document that? Is that a standard form or is it just more detailed meeting minutes that would be relevant? What's the best way to share it to the council? You know, the reason behind our recommendation. I don't know how we document that this way.
Well, when you're looking at the criteria, you can say so-and-so presented this. I think that supports criteria H, which would support support preservation of the site or whatever like that, so that you're specifically calling it out. This is all recorded.
But would it be, would you say we should have that documented in the minutes? Is that the best way to have it? Because our minutes get published in our public record, or is there a separate form or template we fill out? I don't.
There isn't a separate form or template that you fill out.
It would just be more detailed meeting minutes to help the council. Is that what you're saying?
I suppose on the motion.
Yeah, you haven't done a lot of these yet.
I know we haven't, right? So I want to make sure, based on all the, because, when we talked about the property, you went through and we all had a chance to share our opinions on the property and our reasoning behind our vote. But that wasn't really documented. Mark thought this.
No, that's why I was asking when someone made a motion.
Okay, we have to summarize.
What the reasons are for your motion, your criteria.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Brent, it might make sense just for this group, new to it, if there's some good example of a report done by planning and zoning, just a sort of a brief one to skim through, because you'll see they go through ordinances.
Yeah.
They go through points that meet things, points that don't meet things. They make suggested, action. They make recommended findings. And that basis sort of gives you a crib sheet. And it's advisory to the commission in this case. But I think it might be helpful to the commission to see an example.
That's where the staff and our meeting notes can help.
Right. And what it does is then one can refer to that for the minutes, and then it becomes something that can be pasted into the minutes, modified for the minutes,
right,
amended by a member. So I think see that as a, and see how, what you think of that, and then we can make comment. And if that could go out this week sometime.
Yeah, I can send out a typical staff report that the planning permit.
A simple one.
Yeah, a simple one.
Not
right.
An 80-page.
Yeah. Oh, my simple one, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else?
Do we have to vote on this, or can I not? I don't care.
No, this is simply informational.
Okay, whatever.
Any other questions, discussion? I would like to say thank you to everybody. This is a steep learning curve, and it's appreciated how much people are doing.
I guess I'll go back to something I said before. I think this is another reason that we want to start with an easy, willing participant. And say, let's get a process proven with someone that's not going to appeal, or, so that's
okay,
another reason.
Okay, I have to say this. This will be IBM, right?
We've already talked about some properties that are saying, please register me, and we should focus on one of them, or just one, and then go to more difficult ones.
I would agree. okay. One other thing noted here is, in terms of preparation, and I think it will be helpful, is we had our first training session on the 12th of November, and we covered chapters 1, 2, and 3 of a statewide manual of HPC training. The next one is scheduled for the 12th of December. It's the second Tuesday from 5 to 7. And you should have all received the email, did you? Okay. And we will be covering chapters 4, 5, and 6 at that session. And I think my sense of that was that will also help with this process, because we talked a lot about criteria, how you designate, how you sort of rate things. Okay, I'd like to move on to new business, unless there's any other conversation.
I had a quick question. Mm-hmm. Regarding that, I thought I saw a note that we were going to have access to that manual. I wasn't able to make that meeting.
Brent, did you bring copies with you?
No, I did not.
I need one, like a hard copy, but I don't know if we can get an electronic copy.
It's in an email.
I must have missed it.
Here.
Do you know what I'm going to do? Brent, I'll get another copy for you later.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
Thanks. I didn't see it from an email. I don't want it back after I've touched it.
Definitely. anyone else? Trent wasn't here. So if you want the printout, you can stop by at City Administration to pick it up.
Okay.
Or could you mail it to
him? Sure.
Yep.
All
right. I can mail it, yeah.
But I think we all got a soft copy.
Yeah, it's very condensed. It's like 4 pages on a sheet, but it's a good sort of.
It's a nice shirt.
And it's the manual as opposed to the online.
Okay,
anything else? All right, moving on to new business 6.1, adopt Robert's Rules of Parliamentary Procedure. At this point, I'd like to look to Pat to give us an overview on this.
Well, this commission has changed members, changed chair, changed secretary throughout its course. And essentially, you've been operating with Robert's Rules. When I went back to look through some history, the minutes from the meetings are pretty scant. I can't point to one that says Robert's Rules of Order were adopted. And so we can remedy that by adopting them, and you would continue to operate as you have been. I got a request from the chair today to say, could you put together a handout? And I got it at lunchtime, and I had court at 1, so I said I can't create something, but I can find something to hand out, which I did. And so I can hand that out. And then I also consulted with the city attorney about if he has ever given an overview, and he gave me that, and I can talk to you about that as well.
Or is it just understood the latest edition always takes precedence over prior editions? Because 10th was updated, I believe, in 2011 to become the 11th edition. And so I didn't know if we need to pick a particular edition, or we just say Robert's Rule of Order and call it good, and every time they update it, we just are on the new edition.
It would be best probably just to say the most current edition,
okay.
And that way we don't have to keep amending this. The other thing that some other commissions have done is just at the annual meeting, the first meeting of the year, when new people come on and people have left, is they renew that this is how we want to operate, and then the group votes, and then there it is on the record. So that's another way that some groups have done it. But to my knowledge, a majority of the commissions and boards and city attorney staffs, they all use Robert's Rule of Order, and that's what you've been doing. So. So basically, what the city attorney wants you to know is that the chair is responsible for ensuring the basic rights of all the members who are upheld by running the meeting in an objective, judicious fashion. And if the chair is a member of the public body, which is always the case, the chair does have the right to express an opinion on the business being conducted. The chair does have a right to vote on all matters. However, the chair cannot make a motion or second a motion. And I think that you've seen the chair here suggesting a motion might be appropriate to everybody. So what I handed out to you was something that was put out by one of the Robert's Rules of Order. Some of that doesn't really pertain to you. It's a little formalized, but it was just a quick overview that I could put in the 20 minutes I had. So the agenda is like you are used to seeing: a call to order, approval of minutes, unfinished business, old business, new business, update, other business. And we always are asking that one person speak at a time. We are making a record here. People do review this, believe it or not, and they do want to understand who it is that is speaking. Oftentimes I have asked that the chair recognize a person by name so that persons that don't see you know who the speaker is, or if someone brings a motion. Motion was by Commissioner Slomas, and it was seconded by Commissioner Carlson, and then state the motion. So it just helps everybody to understand who's making the motions and where you're at. So we talk about quorums, and for any official business to take place at the meeting, there must be a quorum or a simple majority of the members. So, and if there are not a sufficient number of members, and we've had that happen once, no business can take place. So, after the meeting begins, if the number of members present falls below a quorum, any member can make a quorum call and prevent further business from being conducted. An assembly without a quorum can either wait until a quorum arrives or adjourn the meeting. Simply put, business cannot be conducted without a quorum. And that also pertains outside. If there's a group of you that go to something and it ends up being a quorum, it is seen as a public meeting. And so if we foresee that happening, Brent will publish that there will be people at such and such events on such and such a date, and that's a public meeting because there's enough of you there that it could be seen as a public meeting and conducting business, okay?
The work sessions were published.
Yes.
And will be published each time they occur.
With regard to voting, he says, resolutions and motions are decided by a majority vote unless otherwise stated in the state law, home rule, charter, or city ordinances. Although it's a duty of every member who has an opinion on a question before the assembly to express it by a vote, members cannot be compelled to vote. All members present who do not vote aye or nay or no or yes are said to be abstained. If a member abstains, the member is essentially refraining from voting. There's no such thing as an abstention vote. When a majority vote or two-thirds vote is required for adoption, abstentions have absolutely no effect on the outcome of the vote, since what is required is majority or two-thirds of the votes cast. On the other hand, if the vote required is a majority or two-thirds of the members present or the entire membership, an abstention will have the same effect as a no. As required by Minnesota Open Meeting Law, all votes must be recorded in the public minutes. Proxies are not permitted. Secret ballots are not permitted. So if it sounds like it's almost an even tie, yays and nays, oftentimes the chair will ask either for people to raise their hand, all that said nay, so that it can be recorded by the secretary. Do you go with secretary?
Yeah.
Okay. With regard to amending a motion, typically one member of the public body will seek to amend a motion after a motion has been made and seconded. Contrary to popular belief, there is no such thing as a friendly amendment. Instead, there are two ways that you can accomplish an amendment. The formal way is to move to amend the motion. If the motion is amended and seconded and is adopted following discussion, then the motion is amended before the body for final consideration. If the motion to amend is not adopted, the original motion stands before the body. An informal way is to ask the public body for general consent, also referred to as unanimous consent, to allow the motion to be amended or suggested. For example, after the original motion is made and seconded, a member may say, I'd like to ask for general consent to amend the motion so as to do X. The chair will ask, is there any objection to this amendment? It's silent like it normally is. Assuming there's no objection, the chair will then say, hearing no objection, the motion is amended to X. Then there is no vote taken on the amendment. The motion is amended now before the body for action. If there's an objection to the amendment, then the formal amendment process described before this is what you should use. The general consent process is a good way to perform non-controversial actions of any nature without going through the formal motion, second, vote process. Okay, reconsideration. A public body can reconsider an action it took earlier in the meeting. A member who was on the prevailing side of the vote when the action occurred must make a motion to reconsider. Anyone can second that motion. If adopted, the motion brings the matter back before the body for action deemed appropriate. Sometimes a member will want to reconsider action taken after the meeting was adjourned. A motion to reconsider is not available in that situation. Instead, the member can bring a motion to amend something previously adopted or motion to rescind. If an advance notice is given of such a motion that will be made, only a majority vote is required for adoption. So some other things, and I can send this to you electronically so you don't have to try to write things down furiously. Sometimes you'll hear people ask for a motion to table or to lay something on the table. And that's basically, let's set this aside for a little bit, but it will be brought up back later. That's not a debatable motion. A motion to adjourn is not a debatable motion. The chair may call a recess whenever the chair wishes to, and sometimes they just say, time for a bathroom break, and everybody takes five, whatever. If a member doubts the accuracy of the chair's announcement of the voice vote, you can demand a division of the assembly. And so then you will roll call each person. How did you vote? It is fairly common that after debate has continued for some time, a member will shout out, "I call a question." It is thought that debate must immediately end or a vote occur on the pending motion. This is not the case. A member who wishes to force an end to the debate must first obtain the floor by being recognized by the chair and then must move for the previous question. If the motion is seconded and adopted by 2/3 vote, debate ends and the vote occurs. A member can vote on or second a motion to approve minutes of the meeting that the member did not attend. In determining the results of the vote, a majority of the votes cast means more than half. And that's pretty much it. If I see you going astray, and sometimes that happens when there's lively discussion, I probably will interrupt and suggest something to you to try to get back on track. Nothing is perfect, but this is a general format that we try to follow, and it would be prudent to adopt this or some other rules of order for this group.
Pat, do we need to go back, because I used a friendly amendment, do we need to go back to that motion and do something?
Actually, what he said is I agreed to this, to the amendment, and that was the motion, and then the person that seconded said I approve of the amendment as well. So even though they used that phrase, I don't think that that changes anything, no.
Plus, if we haven't formally adopted it, we haven't broken any rules yet.
Grant, you had a question.
If we want to do any kind of amendments or we want to try and set some other guidelines that are within Robert's Rules of Order, for example, you know, how strong a vote has to be in order for certain actions to take place, do we do that subsequent to adopting the Robert's Rules of Order? Do we adopt them and then we might make some adjustments as we see fit as a body, or do we have to do it all at once?
Well, my suggestion is that you adopt these because otherwise, technically, what rules are we using? But can they be amended at any time? Yes.
So my question as an example, so just kind of throw my subject out there, we're talking about voting on properties and whether or not they should be on or off the list. And one of the things that I'd like to discuss with the group when it's appropriate is whether we do a simple or a supermajority and whether or not something's on or off the list. And I don't know if that's prescribed by this or if that's something we refine after adopting these.
I don't think my materials cover that. And we don't use that in other bodies, but does not mean that this body could not. So you can bring it up when you think it is appropriate. And if it's adopted, it's adopted because this body can make rules for itself.
Okay.
Does anyone else have any questions of Pat? I would entertain a motion if someone wishes to make one.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the Robert Rules of Parliamentary Procedure.
Second.
In the latest edition, whatever.
Yeah,
the latest edition
that
has that.
And you second that?
Understand that's the intent, yes, sir.
Any discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
We have rules of order.
Pat, thank you for the overview.
Well done. That was great.
All right, item 6.2 is the December HPC meeting date. The 12, I think it's on 12/26 is the fourth Tuesday, which is the day after December. And we had a conversation at the working session on the manual about potentially rescheduling that. And Brent has summarized, staff is recommending that it occur on December 19th, which is the third Tuesday of the month.
I recommend approval of staff's recommendation to move the date to December 19th
3 is HPC discussion of other possible incentives and benefits of listing. And in talking with Brent, this was put on the agenda partly because, and I apologize, Jamie, I didn't sort of preview this with you. One of the things that was commented on in the working session on the manual for Minnesota State HPC commissioners was the surprise at the numbers of different benefits that come from listing. And I will comment, I did not sit on the HPC, well, I was on it for a while. Chris Geisen was a member of the HPC perhaps since it started in 2013, early 2014, works with a community development group that provides services to small communities, and has done the work in Chatfield, working with Chatfield on their arts center, and is very familiar with different kinds of incentives and processes. And Chris was the member of the HPC who was working with a subcommittee on different incentives and trying to identify how to communicate those to possible owners of potentially historic buildings. When this came up in the manual training, I wondered if there were commission members who would be interested in committee work on this subject. The revolving loan fund is one of the things we've talked about. I can just give you a quick rundown from old listings that I had. City building and safety, I'm going to look to Randy Johnson again. If I could, if a building is a local landmark, it is reviewed under a different section of the code. If you could summarize that.
It's not.
It's reviewed as a historic building.
It can be. That is a potential that the designer has the option.
Right. It doesn't happen automatically.
Right.
The revolving loan fund we talked about. There are also things called facade improvement grants or loans, which is something that the RDA does, and we had come up with some worksheets to try to work with them on that and add it to other parts of the city. There are facade easements, and it's a question of who owns the facade easement. TIF is tax increment financing, which could be used to incentivize heritage. The comp plan we talked about, DMC design guidelines can also help to facilitate and incentivize preservation and adaptive reuse. And there are federal and state tax incentives. And my feeling is this group probably is not terribly familiar with that whole range of things. Is that?
That's true.
So it strikes me that it would be good, and I don't know if it's a work session or if we try to take time in a meeting. But so the first question would be, are there committee members who are interested in this specifically and would like to work on a subcommittee to try to evaluate these and make recommendations?
I'd be happy to work on it. Somebody that would have some expertise now.
Jamie and Trent?
We have specifically, for instance, like TIF and revolving loan fund that are of interest to me, but what were the others?
Again, I think now's not the time. If you're, I'd suggest if you're interested, you might. Three members is a good working subcommittee. Is it too broad for you, Tom?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Then at this point, Brent, if you would note that Tom, Jamie, and Trent are interested in working on this, mm-hmm. and I can share information. And again, Brent has files from Aaron, which has a lot of this documented.
I just want to mention that in the last 7 minutes, I mentioned anytime we set up a subcommittee, it would be really nice if we could list in the minutes who the subcommittee members are, so we could refer back.
Yep.
Thank you.
And if there are comments, they need to go to Brent rather than to the subcommittee, and no back and forth between members. The subcommittee, of course, can converse with each other, but the subcommittee comes back to the commission as a whole to say, this is what we've been working on and we want to present for you for discussion or action.
Okay, any questions on this? Thank you to the members who are interested. All right. new business is heritage inventory methodology. You will remember that when we had a working session in October to try to prioritize potential and challenge lists, even our August staff member couldn't find certain information, which led to a conversation about, you know, trying to standardize our inventory. Mark Carlson volunteered to try to work with the lists and has begun doing that. Mark, would you like to provide sort of an update on that?
Yeah, sure. So I took the, I went through the HP's, I'm sorry, the 106 reports, and pulled out, there's like all this listing, right? And so I pulled out the property names, addresses, SHPO numbers, current use, stuff that I found interesting. I started off very personal because I wanted to have something like this. And then what their current status is. We have properties that are landmark, potential, ones that are potential accepting and potential challenge. And then pulled out from the 106 reports in a spreadsheet of what criteria from our ordinance was touched upon, you know, A through H, and then the recommendations from the 106, and then links to the reports, because I got confused. We had 15 different reports flowing around the same list of properties, and then any notes. So it's just the starting place. I put it on basically Google Sheets. So it's an internet-based spreadsheet that can be shared with folks, but I had some discussion with Brent that if it becomes a working document and we're all collaborating on it, then, you know, how is it officially hosted, et cetera? So I'm treating it as my own personal spreadsheet right now. I did share it with Christine for her awareness. And so I think it would be handy because, you know, so many times I'm like, well, what page is that? Where do I get that report? And, you know, what's used at? What year was it built? Just trying to get all in one spreadsheet, as it were.
And that's greatly appreciated. And then there have been some conversations by email between Brent, Mark, and myself, and SHPO, which is the State Historic Preservation Office. And the reason for that is that based on our ordinance, the HPC has a responsibility to have a database for the public that's accessible by the public and usable by the public regarding our heritage properties. So my thought was, and I think Mark agrees, that it's sort of crazy to do this independent of whatever SHPO would advise us to do that is a standard methodology. And so we've been put in contact with a woman named Wendy Way, who is the person who's the specialist in inventory with SHPO. And she has set up a few times at which she could have a conference call with Brent, Mark, myself, and if someone else is interested, please let me know, so that we could review what that methodology would be. So that rather than doing this once for us and then in the future revising it for the public, we would do it one time. So this is, again, it's not an action item, it's an update for people to keep you informed. Any questions? Brent, do you have any comments?
No, I do not.
Okay.
So is that working document something that we can have access to, or we can't because it becomes some kind of dialogue outside of a meeting, and so now we're constituting some kind of electronic meeting?
That's the concern, right?
That's why I'm wondering, did we address that, or did I miss that? Because I didn't hear an answer when you asked.
I intentionally did not share it. I had an email to Brent and asking him, hey, I'm thinking of doing this. Can I share it with everybody?
Yeah.
Well, we have to be careful. Da, 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 da.
So is the answer we can't?
So I still, I said, well, I'm going to do it anyways for myself, and then I'd share it with Christine. Say, here's the spreadsheet. It's just a spreadsheet.
Brent, I think the thing is, right now we wouldn't share it because it may be changing.
Yeah,
and if we start using it, I mean, I think that's a good question. I think that we'll come up with a means by which we can be using it.
Okay.
Again, if something that can be accessed by the public, there's no reason we can't access it. I think one of your questions is, can we have a working document that
right.
we access? And I don't know what the answer to that
was. That was my question.
The question is, is there going to be dialogue between the members and people trying to persuade members one way or another that could influence how someone sees a property in an application that comes before you? If it's simply an inventory that you all use and you're referring to number 154 or whatever, I don't see that as a discussion of the property, but anytime there is something substantive, that you should not be speaking with each other because that would violate the open meeting laws. Does that make sense to you?
It does.
Okay.
I'm just hoping that before we actually start using it, we have a chance as a group to sort of discuss the format and to see if anyone else.
I think that, you know, Christine and I meeting with these data, you know, these people will say, oh gosh, your database is junk, you want to format it differently. We'll learn something like, you know, here's the index number you should use or something. And then, you know, I'd like to make it as, I happen to like just the Google Sheets because it's online, easy to navigate.
Everybody can get to it.
And you don't have to worry about it. I can do it on my phone. I don't have to worry about who has the file. It'd be nice to have that somehow linked to from the city's website. I don't know if that's an official okay place to put something. It's like on a Google account or something like that. It's just nice that we could have certain people can access and update it to reflect maybe a decision made or something like that. Or
I think once we
I don't have to go through some
once we get a document
this thing,
figured out and finalized, we can get that document on our website so everyone has access to it. But in the meantime, we can bring updates to the members at the meetings every month to show you where we're at on it.
I'm also hoping that, because I know you're from IBM, you probably have a very sophisticated knowledge of computers, but some of us on this panel are not necessarily as good with computers as you are, so hopefully it's going to be at a relatively elementary level as far as computer knowledge.
I'd be happy to do a click share or something, if that's even possible today.
Okay.
I'm going to blow your mind or anything. It's pretty simple. But okay. It just was a lot of field work going through the 106 report, pulling out stuff.
If it was a PDF document, so it wasn't a document that was modifiable by the masses, does that change your position on what it could be, or is it like, no, because we can't instigate any conversation outside of these meetings regarding that topic?
I'm really hesitant to say you could talk this far, but not this far. Really, the discussion should be taking place here. Mm-hmm. That's what the public wants to see.
And acknowledging that, I appreciate the input. That wouldn't be any different than any other documents we really have, right?
Correct.
So if there was a concern about the document being modified, would it be acceptable to share a PDF version, or you could send Brent the current version of it in a PDF form, and he could boomerang it out to the rest of us so we can see what the status is, or do you not want to unveil anything yet?
Oh, I think we could do that.
Because I'm just curious what it looks like more than anything else, just to digest it and then be able to kind of formulate when we do get it, kind of feel like I've had some chance to look at it and understand what it is.
Or could you just send us the link and not allow us to edit it?
Yeah, that's what I did with some folks already, like Christine.
Yeah, because that would also be a way to...
If that's okay.
From what I hear, if we don't talk about it, it's okay.
To Brent, and then he sends to everybody, so we know.
So you have an email,
what?
Brent, that includes that link. You could share that with the team, and they can do it. I have edit ability. But again,
I would comment. We don't know what the format will be.
Right. This
but
is just what I came up with.
What's great about what he started to do is it's one document, and it's. Did you only get one list? Is that correct?
One. Well, I have links to like my Google Drive to the different. We have different, like the challenge list, the 106 report was broken into several chunks. So I link to those so that you have a fighting chance.
So from that Google Drive, it links to all of those.
Well, it works for me. I'm not sure I'd have to share those files. Or we might end up long term setting up some new account for.
I'd say, as an example, just sending one would be appropriate at this point.
Well, so what will happen is when Brent sends it to the team,
right,
or to the commissioners here, they'll click on that link. Anybody in the world can see this list. It's
right.
It's all right out of the 106 report, so I was like, I'll share it with the world out there.
But it compiles information in one place.
All it does is take stuff from the 106, put it on one spreadsheet.
So not everything on a list is from the 106 group. They didn't evaluate everything either.
Right. So I added from previous lists as best as I could. And there's probably things I missed. But like I added the one that we added at the September meeting. You asked to have one of the properties added, so I put it on there and I said this was added. This was an added.
Okay, so it's not just the ones.
It's not just the ones. Yeah, I tried to put some English to it. And like the landmark lists, we didn't have a phase one of those, so those ones that...
The ones that are on the National Register.
Right, but I'm listing them on there that they're part of our inventory that we care about because they're landmark.
Well, and they do have that SHPO number?
Yes, so I tried as much as I could, yes.
Okay.
And I'm sure that people find mistakes, I'm happy.
Well, one of the things I like about getting it out there, knowing that this is a preliminary, is that everyone's sort of looking at it.
shared with us, then we discussed it perhaps, I'm just going to say the December meeting, because we get a chance to look at it and we can ask questions of what we consider being an open forum. Is it too raw because it becomes something that becomes publicly available? Is it something that if it was out and available, is it going to be misconstrued because it is so young and so unrefined at this time?
Could be, I don't know.
Are you talking about in the format it's in now?
What I'm talking about, there's some information I'd love to see because I think it helped put some order to something. And if we have to talk about it in this group, then if we get that information so we can digest it, and then in this forum we can have a conversation about what's coming to light, about what's being refined, then it would be useful for the group to get that information together. But it sounds like we have to be here together to talk about it. And in order to do that, I'd just like to see it before we get it.
I would think you could look at it, you know, before the meeting and have your comments and be prepared to share those comments. Like, and then I would imagine by the December meeting, we'll have hopefully had a meeting with the SHPO,
right,
or the SHPO people. And so maybe I'll have modified it to, hey, we changed the format a little bit or whatever it is, and then get your input. Like, oh, I'd like to see, like, I don't have the year built in here. I didn't think of adding that, but I could add that.
And Mark, what I'd ask is that whatever, that there be some kind of header, that this is a working document that's being, that's being formatted. So that it's not for distribution at this point, it's for our internal use at this point.
But and the reason I was, that's where this question I'm asking is going, is if I said, okay, or if we said, yep, we'll have access to it, but we'll only talk about it here, we come in December, we talk about it here, is that a document that becomes part of our agenda available to the public? So that is it under public scrutiny? That's my question.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is, I want him to know about it before he distributes something. Or if you guys said it will be, then maybe we decide whether or not something so unrefined is really ready for distribution. To get it.
Before it's ready to be on the city website and to be made a public document, I would not want it distributed because it's subject to change and it's a working document.
And for us to discuss it here, if we said we're going to discuss this document, that'd be something that we need to or want to release as part of our agenda that the public has access to. It must be good questions, because if they were easy, you'd just go and I'm okay with it. I'm not demanding anything. I just want to understand how can we usefully move forward, because I think this is something that, regardless of how we see a lot of the issues we're facing, it sounds valuable in a way to mine the information and put some sense to it, because otherwise it can be a lot of sad.
Is there any way he could be made part of a subcommittee and be a subcommittee with on some of these issues?
A subcommittee solves a lot of problems.
Already, but yeah, we should formalize it.
I have reasons for not wanting it to be released before it's on the city website. Otherwise, everything on your computer network becomes discoverable because we're...
Right. That's where I probably want to make like a generic, maybe HPC user ID or something like that.
But that's why we're not going to be releasing that.
Right, right.
So yes, a subcommittee
right now
would be.
My personal
so I'm just saying, he seems to have a lot of real interest in it, and so I'm just wondering if there's some way of establishing a formal subcommittee on this so he can meet with and discuss some of these issues.
Speak to your chair.
I don't care. It's not going to be a complicated subcommittee, Mark.
I've already been working with Christina and some emails.
And I'm okay if I wait till the rest. I just thought if it was useful to discuss how you're doing it, refining it, and if somebody had some input or some ideas on the whole, if it's like, oh, let's make it more complicated. These two, I trust both of you. I'm okay with that. I was just trying to figure out how to make use of the work you're doing.
This has been a very short order in emails, but I think it's valuable to have you.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can make a motion to have a subcommittee. Do you want that?
So what you're suggesting, Pat?
If you want to formally create a subcommittee, that's what you should do.
We've created other subcommittees in this meeting without formally. I'm concerned if we do it now, we perhaps didn't create a subcommittee before on the incentives because we didn't take a formal vote.
Are you waiting for that feedback from SHPO first to determine what needs to go on?
Yeah, we're trying to schedule a meeting with them so they can look at what what's the right form.
So would it make sense to wait for that so that
I'm okay with that.
Needs to be in it, so you're not duplicating effort?
I'll just be
understandable to everybody, for the public.
Some of those lists are on the HPC site, on the city page.
Which is very out of date.
Or on a lot of the agendas.
Yeah.
But the HPC, our webpage is really out of date.
Yeah.
As by known members, it doesn't have a lot of stuff.
So we are distributing so people can take a look at this working draft. And if you have any comments you wish to make, you can communicate those to Brent. And Brent will be part of this conversation with Wendy Way.
But my understanding is the document itself is simply compilation of data.
It's exactly right.
It's no opinions. It's
no extraction of 106 information and other documents that we've already had at meetings.
And it's no new information or comments.
Yeah. I made some notes, though, on some of them, just like, you know, about, you know, this property was, what was it? Just notes for myself. Like, we had this one was removed. The one house was removed from by a vote. Appealed and then appealed tonight. You know, that was on that particular property. Just my own notes about where it's due. Or like the county properties. We had the county things on our list, but we've determined that we don't have jurisdiction due to state law. I made a note there on the county part. Fair enough.
And again, no one else has reviewed this. I mean, I haven't reviewed it, neither has Brent, so it's a draft document.
Think of it as a draft piece of paper that I made for myself. I'd like to just show everybody. This just happened to be an online spreadsheet.
Are you asking if there's anything else before we move on to 7?
Anything else before we wrap heritage inventory methodology?
I have something that isn't specifically with regard to that.
Okay. Would you like to address that now?
There had been a question about the amendment to the ordinance. And it was proposed to City Council, and there's going to be a second reading. And so I made a copy for everybody in case you didn't go to Council and weren't able to see. And it's just one section. Made by the commission may be appealed to council. He says, I explained that the commission made a recommendation, not a designation decision. I also noted the existence of 19B.19, and he puts in quotes, all decisions by the commission are appealable to council. He says that seemed to satisfy inquiring minds.
Pat, will you mark that two pieces of paper handed to us? Ordinance number, this is as revised, proposed revision, the page that you handed out?
That's true.
So it doesn't show what was changed. Can you repeat that?
I don't have the original to tell you exactly what was changed. I just asked Terry if there was anything that
you need the original ordinance.
It looks like just the first sentence where on the original it says the commission shall designate a building, and on the proposed revision the commission shall recommend the designation of the building.
Okay. So this will have a second reading on December 4th.
Okay, so you weren't at council, but Brett, so Terry Atkins presented this, council acted on it. And it's subject to the second reading before it's adopted?
Correct, which will occur on December 4th.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions? Pat and Brent, thank you very much. All right, we'll move on to 7, which is public hearing. And based on Brent's summation on this, I would like
second.
I have a motion by Jamie and a second by Trent. Any discussion?
I was, I know that we continued it to today, and it's getting kicked down the road again. Are we, and if we meet and discuss it again, or have a public hearing on the 19th, is that what we just
said?
The
19th, yeah.
Then we're making the commitment that we're going to give a recommendation up or down to the city council based on that meeting, is that correct?
I can't speak to what will happen at that meeting.
Well, I mean, what are our options then? Does it mean, yes, we're going to go up or down at the meeting, or can it go on and on and on? It just feels like this is a football that keeps moving down the field, and I'm trying to understand, is this just another tentative date to the people who own this property? Are they going to get a decision from us? I know they can, so I'm not asking that question, but are there things that can happen that would say, nope, we showed up again in December?
We might not have a form.
Well, there's...
I understand
yes,
that.
There's things that could happen.
If
the attorneys for the Carlton are here.
Yep.
They could file additional things. It could come in depending on timing.
Yep.
What wasn't discussed here is that there was a request for an opinion from the Ethical Practices Board, and that was scheduled for one meeting, and they could not reach a decision at that meeting. They scheduled for a second meeting. That meeting was held last week, and they decided, we're not going to give you an opinion. And they said, your choices are, you could file a complaint with us, and then it would go through a different process, or do whatever you decide is appropriate legally. And so far, we haven't received anything. So that would have just perhaps touched on the part of their letter that had to deal with whether certain members should recuse themselves. And who knew that they would say, we decided not to decide. Mm-hmm. But that's what happened. So there are things that happen that you can't foresee. So it wouldn't be considered a tentative date, it would be considered a hard date, but could things happen in between? Yes.
We have a training date that we established. The second one, was it the 12th?
The 12th.
Next thing. And are we going to be all the way through our training manual on the 12th? Or are we just hitting three? I think we're hitting three more sections, 4, 5, 6. Is that correct?
There are 9 chapters.
Yep.
So we will have done 2/3 of the training manual.
There
is that link, though, that anytime you wanted, you could read ahead.
Well, then I've got a hard copy, so I was looking at it and digesting some of it. What I was wondering is, you know, as Mark said, it would be a different pleasure to get something that was a willing participant to go through the system. And we're receiving training, which I think is great information. We're updating our processes, and I'm wondering if, you know, December, do we have to have a hard date and say, yes, this is due the client or the property owner because they're due a date in court or before us, whatever we want to call it, that they have to have it by a certain number of days, or do we not have to have a public hearing within X amount of days? Can it be pushed down the road until we have our feet underneath us for something that I consider so significant as we're trying to figure out what we're doing? I mean, I don't mean to belittle us knowing what we're doing because there was some discussion about what happened last time. But if we're receiving training and education, we're adopting rules, we're coming up with lists that help metric things out, it just appears to me that we keep saying, well, we'll get them next time. And by get them, I don't mean get them. I just mean we'll
get to it.
We'll get to it. Thank you. We'll get to it next time. I'm just not comfortable with this. We'll get to it next time, but really not having our stuff together as I would like to for such a significant decision.
What sometimes I think is not really apparent is this is before you because of City Council's request.
Mm-hmm. They're asking us to.
They're asking you to look at it. They're also the ones that are looking at changing the ordinance. And I haven't heard any feedback with regard to them saying, you better get to it, people. But yes, everybody is entitled to due process, but have there been valid reasons at this point to continue things? So...
Well, and I wonder, and I'm not a property owner, but with the due process, in one of our last meetings, they said they were comfortable with the fact, but I believe they indicated that they didn't need to figure this out right now. They said, you know, can we just not tackle this? They could be on a potential list, and ultimately I believe they don't want to be, but whether or not they're a historic property or they're finally off it's okay if we don't know now, we don't have a project in the works, and knowing that if we got a project in the works, we'd need to come before the body and get a determination on what our rules are, we're happy to do that. But when we don't have anything going on, I thought I heard them say, we don't need a decision right now on getting on or off the list.
I think we had a concern that if we waited too much time, there was a window of opportunity. Wasn't there a window of time we had to act by, though? I thought that's what was forcing part of it.
And that's what you're asking, and I'm going to look to Pat.
Yeah.
Aaron was familiar with it, I think.
Yeah, and I agree with you. We had like 120 days, and we had to go again. And that's how it went from spring, when I came on the commission, to fall. We pushed it out as far as we could to give everybody an opportunity.
Because you remember the discussion in May.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I'm asking, do we have to...
Aaron was pushing that there was a technical reason we had to do it sooner. I thought that it's a tentative.
Maybe you look to staff to see for comments on this, please.
I just asked Brent, do you know what the date of referral was? And he didn't know off the top of his head, so... But typically, when it's an outside applicant that is bringing a motion, then we have the 60-day rule.
But this was initiated by City Council on April 3rd, I believe.
Yes.
And to my knowledge, nothing was mentioned at that time about time frame or limits, but it's new to me, too.
If the group, if our advisors are trying to get their head around what the obligations are, if we come and it's December, and if this body votes and says, yep, we'll have a public hearing on the 19th, is there any way for us to stop it because we said, oh, we decide we don't want to have a public meeting or a hearing? Or do we not have the opportunity to back out if the group has said, you know what, we really want to kind of get more of this organized? Do we need to make that decision tonight? And if so, is there some kind of numerical date that when we go down the road, we have to stay within? It's another 60 days, it's 90 days, it's 120 days. It's a date from a certain time in 2017, April. I don't know what those are. But I'm asking before we take the vote, because I think it's relevant if we just keep kicking this down the road 3-4 weeks. And we're in the process of, I think, learning and making some real progresses to understanding our charge and our responsibilities.
Well, part of the timing here is because you have scheduled meetings, one meeting a month, and so it's the next possible opportunity, typically. It's the chair that has initiated the training sessions, which were an addition to what was agreed upon with regard to scheduling. Part of the issue with this ordinance is it's kind of an evolving object that they're realizing more and more details need to be placed in the ordinance as things come up. It's not as comprehensive as some of the planning and zoning ordinances and that type of thing. Those didn't happen overnight either. And so it's a situation where there have been times when the ordinance is silent to process, to timing, to cost. And so then you do the best you can, you send it back to council, and then they say, well, we really should put that in there so everybody knows. Well, then that's a process.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what is happening slowly. I know there has been a discussion about the appeal process that was mentioned earlier, how that should be outlined, how there should be a process, a format that people should be aware of if there's timing issues, if there's a cost. And so far, it's silent to that. I think that will be changed, but that's in administration, and when that happens, I don't know. But that's another issue. And so I understand what you're saying. You would prefer not to continue things. And I'm glad, because I think this group has a big list in front of it to get to. Basically, until you make a decision that something is designated this or that, you know, a recommendation for that, the property remains as it is, and people are free to work within the confines of what the current designation is.
But do we need to commit to a date for public hearing at this meeting? That's a question I have.
Okay. So otherwise, we have work sessions that we say we're not doing outside, so there's no other opportunity for this group to make a decision about when to hear this. Now, if tonight you have a discussion and you say, I don't think we're going to be ready by December, what would be the next date? In January, tell us, Brent. He can tell you, and if you decide that, then that's when it will be.
Okay. So if we voted the motion, I know there's one on the table. And instead, there was a motion to have a public hearing in January. That would not violate any ordinances, rules, or laws. And we could, in December, decide if we're prepared to go forward in January.
Yes, you could do that. I'm aware that attorneys for the Carlton want to have notice when things are going to be happening. They want to be prepared. They want to be able to make a presentation, and they want to have a fair shake. So as much notice as they can get would be appropriate as well.
And that's why I thought in my example, if it was in January, that gives them plenty of time, if that's what we set as a date. And in December, if we moved it back, I rarely hear people complain about getting more time to prepare for something. So if we got to December and we decided January wasn't going to be the date, we decided to change it as a group, it's rare that someone's going to say, well, I don't want it. Or maybe we would allow them to give input on whether or not they wanted to be here in January.
For the public's sake, and I'm not sure if I'm understanding you, you can't say we're going to do it in January, but December say, oh, if everyone wants to do it tonight, we'll just do it tonight.
Nope, that's
okay.
Not what I said.
All right.
I meant in December we could say, are we ready to go in January? And then if we say, yep, we're keeping that date, or there could be a discussion on whether or not January seems like the legitimate date to do this. I guess I'm giving them the time so we don't come to December, and like I said, we're still going through some of this, so just asking my question.
And I can't speak for the attorneys for the other side either,
mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know that there's going to be a forum for them to make those comments here.
You mean tonight?
Yeah.
Can they only make those comments in the public hearing?
Yes.
So outside of the public
unless
hearing?
Unless they write a letter to our office, but that would be after tonight.
Right, but we'd be able to receive and review that in December.
That's true, but you won't be all gathered again until the work session and then the whatever meeting.
Okay.
And one of the reasons for continuing to a certain date is then we don't need to republish it. So that's why staff recommends it being continued to December 19th, but if the commission has other wishes, they could pick a different meeting to continue to. But the key is when you continue something, you continue it to a certain date.
Yep.
So you don't have to republish or be notified.
Okay, I think if I could, Brent is making some points. I think it's appropriate to open this up for a conversation, particularly with people who made the motions. Brent, would you like to summarize succinctly?
That's a big challenge for me.
Yeah.
what I'm thinking is, I feel right now like we are really beginning to learn a lot about what our responsibilities are, and I see things that are being refined. And I know that this property has been something that is, for lack of a better description, contentious because there are two sides. I don't mean it in a negative way other than there are a variety of opinions. And if we're asked to draw an opinion on something that I consider to be rather significant, and I'm in the process of learning about something, I'm not really excited about making a decision about using that kind of responsibility in a process while I'm still learning about something. So I'd like to push it further down the road. I'd love to have it go down the road as a property until we say we feel like we have our system down or we've got more metrics to it so that it's a better process for something that is divided. If this was a property where people said, we want to do this, then I'd say, no problem, see you in December, or we take care of it tonight. But I'm not comfortable with it in December. That's my succinct statement.
Okay, I'd like to see
would other people like to? I have a question. At one point in time, we thought there was a sense of urgency to hear it sooner. I think as part of it, we had former commissioners who knew about the property, but those people have left. So that's not an issue anymore. So I'm not hearing any legal thing saying you only have 100, X days or this thing falls off or automatically, you don't have any hard deadlines from a legal standpoint.
That I'm aware of. statements with regard to meeting processes and refining things for the commission at the city council, and I think that he is echoing some of what you are saying with regard to wanting to feel more comfortable with procedures, to having more knowledge about how to evaluate properties, and that's all I'm hearing right now.
I was only commenting that it's there's not a legal requirement for training in terms of the process.
Right. I'm just concerned they would cite some of the things we said here. I'm just kidding.
Is there a way of doing the training in such a way that we could finish the training in such time as to have a hearing in December? I mean, it just seems that would be a... Because I personally don't like... I use the phrase at another meeting, kicking the can down the road. It's gone on and on and on. I just think we owe the public and the owners, you know, some kind of decision on this. And I hate to constantly come up with other reasons to kick the can down the road. It's been going on now for quite a while. So I'm just saying if we could, some way we can maybe finish the training in the next session or maybe have back-to-back training so we could do the meeting in December, that might be better. Just a suggestion.
Hasn't some of the kicking the can down the road been on the owners, though, from them delaying us? So I don't really feel bad about delaying it and holding them out if they're going to self-inflict a little bit.
And if you think about it, I don't think...
Can you...
I don't think the owner would care if we kicked it down the road either.
No.
They're not anxious to have something decided right away.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a matter of how urgent do we want to get through this.
So as the original mover, I would be very open to changing the date and moving it to January or whatever the recommendation of, or can I just withdraw that original motion?
I think I'd like to hear from people before taking an action like that. thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Trent. Tom, you've spoken. Classless?
I agree. I think we need more knowledge. Knowledge gives us power. The more we know how to go through this process, it would be nice to get another one under our belt, the way you keep talking about. But
what about my idea of having the increased training before the December meeting, so to finish it then, so we could finish it on December 19th?
On that,
we rushed through the last one pretty quickly, didn't we? It takes a while to digest some of that stuff too.
Well, we've been at this since April when I started. I think it started before I was even on this commission. And it started to sound like an old-fashioned filibuster to me.
Explain, I'm sorry.
Well, filibuster, they just, you know, debate endlessly so that nothing happens. And so I kind of agree with Barry. I think we could get trained very quickly.
Well, yeah. I like the training that was helpful, but it, I can't say I had some details that were good. I don't feel it was essential for me to make a decision. I think to your point, Christine, you said, you know, this is not like, if we don't have the training, we're on legal, bad situation. So, but it is helpful, nonetheless.
And if we make a decision, and this is maybe a question for you, and they don't agree with the decision, they're going to challenge it anyway, aren't they? I mean, if they so choose.
They have the right to, I think, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, right.
They have a right to challenge whatever decision you make and appeal it, yes.
And if the ordinance is amended per the second reading, whatever, if we are then acting under that, and we've been directed not to have a public hearing until the ordinance has been amended, at that point, whatever the commission determines is a recommendation to council.
Correct.
So then it would go to council.
If this is approved, right?
Yeah. But I mean, we've been asked not to hold a hearing until that has a second reading. And again, you never know what will happen, but.
So.
This is curious. It was a city council initiated action. Responding to Barry's question about could we, again, have our sort of training condensed. I mean, we could consider, if people were receptive to it, holding a session the first Tuesday in December and the second Tuesday in December. That would give the HBC row that would be committed to this process. Given that it was a council-initiated action, I'm not sure how one acts on a council, how one changes schedule on a council-initiated action. But I respect what people are saying in terms of knowledge.
To be clear, the city council asked us to wait till the ordinance was updated.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're not asking us to have it here in December, right?
I can ask Pat to comment on that in terms of the timing of the ordinance revision.
I wasn't there.
I think they want to wait for the second hearing, have the ordinance updated, and then we would have our public hearing after that time. We can't have it today.
Correct.
They don't
want the ordinance updated. Yeah.
They didn't weigh in if we want to have it December.
Okay.
We've got to do December or sooner than later.
No. I will point out, based on the training manual, you got through about half the manual. It's about 150 pages. You got through 73 pages of it. So I can envision us getting through the complete manual on December 12th. It's about 70 pages to get through. So I think we'll be completed after December 12th with this manual.
But if, as I think I heard, if we have to wait until the ordinance is amended.
The second hearing.
And if something changes.
The second reading.
Second.
So that means it's pretty much done deal, though, I'm saying. What were you guys just saying in my ears?
So the second reading was the city council needs to have the second reading to update the ordinance per that wording that we talked about.
Sure.
We're just making recommendations.
Yep.
And they don't want us to make any determination before that. So as long as we're after that date, we're okay.
Right, but we don't. Do we know that they're going to reach a conclusion at a particular date, or is it possible that we're going to show up in December, something's not going to be changed in the ordinance, these guys will be here and look at us and go, why are we here again?
99.999% of the time, the second meeting is passed.
That's what I was trying to get.
So,
understood.
Yeah.
Okay. Question of training. Brent, thank you for the summary that you believe we could get through the rest of the training manual on the 12th. The other thing I'd like to comment on is what will be new to us is the report by staff that we've been talking about. The process is in order for that report to be part of our process, which is, again, a very good sort of potential guide. We have a motion on the table and a second. Jamie, you had commented on your motion.
Did. I would be willing to, or even open after hearing the discussion, to amend the motion to move it to our January meeting so people feel that they have sufficient time to digest all of the training materials and really kind of talk about that at the meeting in December without having to continue to take action on it. So.
Trent, you had seconded.
I'm okay with the change.
So, I mean, the fourth Tuesday in January would be January 23rd.
A question on parliamentary procedure?
Just a moment. But we haven't adopted the calendar for the following year yet, right? So it would be if the commission would like to continue with the scheduling so it's always the last Tuesday of the month, he could give a specific date for promotion.
The fourth Tuesday.
So we would need to take some action for that to happen.
Well, if she includes a specific date, then you've got it.
I have a question about parliamentary procedure. Once a motion is entered and seconded, doesn't it require unanimous consent to take the motion off the floor?
And I hadn't called for that.
Right.
What I was trying to do is help her refine her motion so that he didn't have to republish and we weren't assuming facts that weren't in.
we need to change the motion to just move to our January meeting, or do I need to talk about the specific date of January 23rd? Since we haven't.
We would like you to use a specific date.
So then I would move to continue the Hotel Carlton hearing until our HPC meeting on January 23rd.
Okay, and is there a the second person who seconded?
Yeah.
I'm going to look for, what would I call this, consensus on this amendment?
Well, there was somebody that had a question.
I'm questioning, because I don't give consensus to it, I don't agree with it, so I'm questioning. Do we have to vote in the original motion, or does it require unanimous consent in order to take the original motion off the floor?
Is there a unanimous consent to amend the motion?
No, I don't.
Okay, so you can ask if you would agree to the amendment, and if the amendment could be seconded, and then you would have a new motion.
Does the motion need to be withdrawn? The motion that's on the table.
It's a motion to amend.
I'm getting lost.
Wouldn't it be cleaner to just vote on the original one and we could make a new one with the January date?
So in other words, we could vote it down and start over?
One at a time.
I'm just thinking, we have a motion, we could say, no, vote that down, if that's what we vote, and then the new motion would be for January. Is that simplest for you?
So we have the amended motion and a second to move it to January 23rd.
But we don't have consensus on that amendment.
Just vote on the amendment. A or nay, it's a majority vote on the amendment.
Right.
So without the consensus, it's a vote on a or nay.
She can move to amend the original motion, but she can't take the original motion.
I'm going to read this part to y'all again, okay? Typically, one member of the public body will seek to amend a motion after the motion has been made and seconded. Contrary to popular belief, there's no such thing as a friendly amendment. There's two ways to accomplish the amendment. The formal way is to move to amend a motion. If the motion to amend is seconded and adopted following discussion, then the motion as amended is before the body for final consideration.
So we have
that's what we did.
So we're voting, yeah.
Right.
You're amended.
I've amended my
motion.
We are
voting on the amended motion.
Not yet. You have to vote on the amendment, and then you vote on the motion.
Correct.
All right. I'm going to call a question on the amendment as made by Jamie, seconded by Trent. And that amendment was to
continue
the date to January
23rd
on this public hearing. Any discussion? Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries to amend the motion.
To postpone it.
Now call the question on the motion as amended and seconded. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed?
I'll abstain.
Motion carries with one abstention. Thank you. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Wait. Oh. I have a question that I'm not sure if it relates or not. You Pat may say yes or no. We received information from you regarding questions about the hearing, and it's privileged information, correct?
Right.
I'm sorry?
Yes?
Yep. Is this something that the commission has the freedom to
qualified.
Let me qualify when I'm asking a question. I thought it's, no, we can't do it unless as a body we make a decision that we're going to share it. And that's why I'm asking.
It's a trade work product. It is not for publication.
Ever. Okay. The reason I ask is because if there's reasons that we're making decisions, I didn't know if it's okay to let people understand why we're, what we're learning and the knowledge we have.
I think it would just say that the body has made these decisions.
Okay.
So,
I'm sorry, but it says that memo may not be publicly disclosed or divulged without the consent of the Heritage Preservation Commission. If we give our consent, the last sentence appears to me that we can share this. Am I wrong? So I did read the paragraph.
That's true.
Are you
okay.
Are you interested in?
I'm interested in sharing this because as people want to know why we make decisions, and in the interest of transparency, which everybody wants to profess, if we're working on some feedback and guidelines that we're soliciting, I think it's only fair to let this be known.
Is that a common thing, that things like this gets disclosed?
And I ask just because that last sentence made it sound like if we said, sure, we don't mind the public seeing it. I thought that was just the qualifier that don't let this out until you guys as a group say we are willing to let this out.
I really didn't hear what our answer was to his question. Sorry, could you repeat?
I don't know how I would answer his question. This is common to do. I haven't had that request since I've been legal counsel for boards, and I probably have had this position for 7 or 8 years.
Oh,
that's all I can tell you.
It's not common.
But I don't know if Terry has.
Right.
It is, as you said, with our consent.
And I thought that's why the last sentence was there, is don't let anybody see it until you guys talk about it. Does anybody else? I'm interested in hearing from the group, so I'll stop talking.
I wouldn't be ready to make any decision on that today. Yeah. I think it'd be something you want to think about. Maybe it comes up in the December meeting. I'd want to reread this carefully.
Stopped thinking about it after I read attorney-client privilege communication and said, whoop.
Yeah. And he's just ignoring men not discussing that at all.
What's that?
I'm used to just not discussing that at all. If it says confidential and attorney-client privilege and all that good stuff.
Mine was a little more like Brent. Did we?
Wait one
look?
Second. I'm
sorry.
Yeah.
I thought that she was done.
I'm done, yeah.
My opinion, I'm always in favor of transparency, so, but on the other hand, I would like to sort of think about this a little more, but normally I am in favor of transparency, and this wouldn't be an exception, but I don't know what's happened before or why it's there, and I guess I'd like to have some more facts.
Well, I can agree with that, but I hope we don't become a commission of closed door behind, you know. I like the idea of some openness.
No comment.
Hmm?
No comment.
I'm sorry, I'll let you finish.
Well, I was just going to say, I wouldn't be ready to make a motion. I'd want to read this more carefully, and maybe there could be something we discuss in December.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to decide it now.
And
maybe have a chance for Pat to rethink about it. And I don't know if it opens a can of worms or something. I have no idea.
I appreciate the question coming up, and I would appreciate guidance from Pat and from Terry, as it was something from them. Your understanding was it would not be revealed.
I should say that I have not had that request for me for attorney work product. I have done memos in the past many times, mm-hmm. and I've never had that request because it was information for the commission or the board, whatever. As you take on more public hearings, you will find that there's a lot of people that want to make comments to you about
anything that they read or things that are associated with a project or with this group or something in Rochester in general. Once this is disclosed, anybody can talk about it, write to the newspaper, go on the radio, come here, and that's fine. So it would be up to this group if that's what you want to do. This is also something that was written in November for something that was approaching you, and as time goes by, things change, so just to keep it in that perspective.
I don't hear a consensus on this.
There's no motion.
And I didn't make a motion because I wanted to just get a conversation.
Mm-hmm. So I would appreciate further feedback from staff. And thank you.
Yeah. And if it's appropriate, I don't know if it becomes something that's old business on December, and we can touch on it and decide whether we're going to move this or not.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Now, may I ask for a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Yeah, so...